you. So I just want to give this disclaimer on this episode of Hey, Let's Heal. Want to give you a trigger warning that we are talking a little in depth about issues of sexual abuse, trauma, and childhood molestation. So if you find yourself having a hard time dealing with those issues or working through those issues, please know that this episode could be triggering for you. So I just want to let you know that before you watch. But get ready for this podcast episode of Hey, Let's Heal. Well, hello and welcome into today's episode of Hey, Let's Heal. I am your host, Alexis M. Lott. I am a licensed minister and certified Christian life coach. One of my responsibilities is to help God's chosen thrive in relationships so that you can lead and love well. All right, now on today's episode, we are talking all about why does God take so long to heal us, all right? Why is God not in a hurry, or why does it seem like God is in a hurry to heal you? And I want to tell you that today's podcast episode is brought to you by yours truly, because I'm the sponsor right now. I am talking all about my latest ebook. It's called It All Starts With a Day, and it is your healing guide to take your power back from depression. So listen, we are almost out of this gloomy, weird, sad season, or seasonal depression. For those of us who get seasonal depression, we're going to speak against it. We're praying against it. We're fighting against it. I thank God for my church and for just the anointing and the power that rests there. Because for years I would confess things like, oh, winter time is going to come, I'm going to get the sads. But this year I was like, no, there are certain things I'm not speaking over myself and I'm not saying, because I'm not going to experience it either. And so seasonal depression, I'm not going to tell you that it's not real. There is a direct correlation between your body not getting enough sunlight and your vitamin D levels, which really impact your organ function, your joints, and your brain health. So it is a real thing that you can experience. But this year I was like, nope, I'm getting up on my vitamin D. I'm cutting on my worship music. I'm going to try to go outside, even if it's just for a second. And I am recouping from a bad battle with sickle cell disease in November and December. But listen, I refused this year to let the sads get to me. So we have an ebook that helps you fight back your power, take back your power from depression. And it's on my website. Of course, the link to go to is alexismlott.com/hello. And that's where you can find a link to anything that I talk about in this podcast for forever and ever and ever. All right, so on today's podcast, listen, we just really got to talk about it. Why does it seem like God takes so long with emotional healing? And where do we learn about God's timing and his timeline when it comes to hard things that we have felt in our heart for years, okay? So I just want to tell you, if you are facing a reality where trusting people again, especially from major trauma, has been painful and long, I want you to know that healing is like this. I'm a graphic designer and I love gradients. And I think you don't even have to be a graphic designer to know what a gradient is. A gradient is just a piece of color that moves from one shade to another. And then there's this beautiful like blend in the middle, right? So that's what healing is like. Healing is like a gradient that moves out of dark into light. And it's gentle. You get a lot of grays in the middle. And then as you walk out of the grays, you go into the white. For many of us who are healing from trauma, and like me, complex trauma, one of the things that happens to our personalities, unfortunately, is that as a defense mechanism, we love to see things in black and white, and there's no such thing as gray. It either is what it is, it's not what it's not, it's up or it's down. And the reason why we become rigid like this in our thinking is because we do not like uncertainty. Because the season in our life where trauma happened probably brought a great degree of uncertainty and dependence on people who could not really give us real answers. And so as a result, we develop this need for things to feel very safe and very clear. Either you like me or you don't, either you're here with me or you're not, either you 100% or there's no such thing as the middle, there's no such thing as lukewarm. And let me tell you now, there is a time and a place for that kind of mindset. But when it comes to healing, a lot of God's best work is done as he shifts you out of one place into another, and it gently happens over time. And I'm going to explain to you the reasons why this happens, all right? So I want to tell you that, first of all, the number one reason why God does not allow us to skip steps in our healing, or either being the black or being a being in the white, and I got to sneeze. If you're watching this on YouTube, I just like let out the biggest sneeze and almost bit my tongue. But anyway, all right, let's reset. All right, so one of the greatest reasons, or perhaps the number one reason, why God does not allow for us to skip steps is this. We would miss too many beautiful parts along the way in our journey. So I'm gonna get very vulnerable, get very naked, and tell you about my story. So my backdrop is in overcoming sexual abuse as a kid, being molested several times repeatedly by a young lady growing up, and I was getting babysat, and there were just playing house and things happening that I did not recognize at the time had a name called molestation, but I knew that it was bad. I knew we shouldn't be doing it. I knew that if I ever got caught, this was not something that I knew how to explain. And so there were a lot of things in my childhood that happened sexually before the age of 10 that I know were strategically planted by the enemy. If you listen to my last podcast episode, or if you're ever a part of my online course called Confident Again, How to Regain Your Confidence After Broken Relationships, one of the things that we talk about is the time periods of sevens, because seven is when our brain, the organ, actually resets itself. And so from 0 to 7, you actually, a lot of childhood trauma happens, but also in a good way from 0 to 7. By the time you're 7 years old, the majority of your personality has been set. And so I'll come back later to this little bit on personality here in a second, but I believe that between the ages of 0 to 7 and 7 to 14 are strategic times by both God and the enemy to plant things in our childhood. One of the ways that we know how many people in the world are Christians right now is because about 80%, the statistics show that about 70 to 80% of all Christian conversions happen between the ages of 0 to 14. That by the time a child is a teenager, if you're trying to introduce Christ to them, the likelihood of it catching and them becoming a Christian until they're no longer on earth is highly unrealistic. So the majority of Christians today are Christians because someone introduced Christ in their childhood. The same thing goes for sexual abuse and sexual trauma. And I'm going to have to go back and put a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode, because I don't want y'all to just smack walk into this and be like, oh my God, I'm triggered. But between the ages of 0 to 7 and 7 to 14 was when I endured a lot of sexual trauma. And that is the age range that I believe that the enemy is also very strategic in making and having those things happen in our childhood. So that was one of the backdrops. Then the second backdrop was physical abuse by a parent. Having that physical abuse being denied for years, and me going and telling different family members and not getting out of the environment. So I lived in an environment of high stress for 18 years. And then on top of that, I have the blood disorder, sickle cell disease. So I have a disease that is triggered by high stress. I have a disease that is triggered by poor eating habits. And one of the ways that I would treat my trauma that I did not understand at the time was by emotional eating. So a lot of times the emotional eating would then trigger a sickle cell crisis. And I would just kind of stay in this loop, not knowing how to get out, until God set me free. And I want to tell you that that freedom came in stages and in waves. And there is a reason why. So the first thing is first is that when you're in that dark part of that gradient, as God is moving you through out of darkness into his marvelous light, as Peter said, one of the things that happens to us in that darkness is that we have to have an epiphany that we are in darkness. And for many of us, and the reason why this podcast is so important for me to minister in a non-churchy way, is because for many of us, our trauma and the sins that grieve the heart of God that we are entangled in are a result of our trauma. So as a result of childhood sexual abuse, you have something called hypersexualization, which means that my appetite for sexual things was off the charts. And I also lived in the house with someone, the person who was my abuser was also addicted to porn. So all over the house, there is pornography. I'm watching it. I'm looking at it. I am in my teen years as a girl. And there are many, there are statistics out there that say 1 in 3 Christian men watch porn. But you should see the statistics on women. And I think the ones on women are very, very quiet, because a lot of times we don't want to associate femininity with something that's impure. That's a nugget. But one of the things that happened to me is I was hypersexualized. I definitely went through this dormant phase in like elementary school, but middle school and high school, I began to get introduced to things that were very much off the charts. You get around your peers and there's nothing but sex talk. And so, of course, by the time I'm 15, I'm no longer a virgin. And there were so many decisions that I made with my sexuality that came from a place, an unhealed, unloving place. And it was sin, like bottom line. But I did not realize that the roots of those sin were something that the enemy had me deeply tangled in from childhood. So you have the sinful parts of our lives that we are keeping up. That's now the fruit or the result of this darkness that's been planted in these roots that have gone deep. And like a tree with deep roots that's very, very big and menacing, God does not just come in and just snatch the tree out the ground and keep it moving. Why is that? He gently cuts it down piece by piece by piece, layer by layer by layer, by first exposing us, and for me, this is what happened, exposing me to the teaching of the Word of God of the sin that was bearing fruit in my life. So one of the first things that I had to do was come to God in a place of repentance to say, I will not keep up the behaviors that I know are grieving your heart. And so when I truly dedicated my life to Christ in college, I was 21 years old. That was the age that I decided no sex. I am no longer going to put my body in a circumstance or in a position where I'm with someone and they only want me for my body. The next person that I'm with will be my husband. And I kept my word. Holy Spirit helped me keep my word. And the next person that I had sex with was my husband 10 years later. And so one of the things that I got a chance to see along the way, along my journey, was that God is a keeper. When I was 21 years old, God did not introduce me then to my husband to say, well, you know what? I'm not, you know, because here's what we want to do. We want to hurry up and take our sex drive outside of us. It's like we want our sex drive to no longer be in our bodies. And that's not how it works. So God introduced me to a fruit of the Spirit called self-control that I got to see bear within myself. I would have never known that Holy Spirit could give me that kind of keeping power unless I planted myself in a way, or unless I believed him in a way. And so now I know from here on out, if it's necessary, I can bear the fruit of self-control because I did it for 10 years. So that's number one. One of the reasons why God does not fast track us is because there's just too many beautiful things to recognize about God and about ourselves along the way. The second thing is that now that I'm, you know, aware of the sinful behaviors that I'm putting to sleep or I'm no longer engaging in, then it cleared my mind to understand the second thing, which is how my personality appealed to people. And so God used discipleship and life coaching as the number two way to show me, here's what it's like when people experience you. And so that was my first introduction into, like, I didn't have language in 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, didn't have language then for trauma. But I did begin life coaching, and my life coach walked me through a series of personality exams that began to show me how people experienced me. And so I oftentimes tell women who are considering coaching, it's probably one of the best things that have ever will ever happen to you, because throughout your whole life, if you hear a person saying stuff like, she's mean, she's bossy, or she's the B word, things like that. If you've heard that your whole life, there's a part of you that has either built up a wall to say, that's not who I am, or there's a part of you that has said, that is who I am, and you own it. Well, here's the thing about coaching. Coaching gives you the opportunity to say, even though you may not be intending to send that message to people, this is how people perceive you. And a lot of the personality tests and assessments that I took began to show me that I had a very dominant personality, and I also had a very influencing personality. And it wasn't that those two things about me were wrong, it's just that they were unshaped. So as I got rid of sin in step one and walked in the lifestyle of repentance, step two, I got to see how God began to reveal my personality. And I want to give you this nugget. Whenever you meet a person, even yourself, you are encountering three things at the same time. You ready for those three things? The first thing you're encountering is personality. The second thing you're encountering is that person's psychology or how they have been made to think. And the third thing that you're encountering is their past. So their psychology, how they think and see, their personality, how they think and see comes out, and then their past. All three of those things are influencing the person that you meet. So we all have a psychology, we all have a personality, and we all got a past. And so God begins his process of healing by dealing with those areas, the past, my psychology, how I'm made up, and my personality, how people experience me. And so for years, I would get so pissed and so upset when people would say things that they would experience me in a certain kind of way. And I'd be like, that's not who I am. But the reality is that in conflict awareness and in conflict management, one of the parts of coaching that I walked through and now walk others through, I really began to see like, oh snap, in conflict, you become just like your mama. In conflict, you become just like your dad. In conflict, you deal with one of the areas of conflict resolution is combative nature or an avoidant nature. And that's when I began to see that, wow, I have a real avoidant nature. And when it comes to certain things, and I would be so upset at my mother or at my dad biologically for avoiding hard issues. But I had to realize Holy Spirit was shining that light on me and showing me that, girl, you're just like them. And then combative is when you don't know how to solve a problem, you just compete and combat. So you begin to just ram it and fight it. All right, y'all, I'm back because my alarm for my medicine just went off in the middle of the podcast and I'm embarrassed. Okay, anyway, so here we are, we're back. So long story short, your personality, your psychology, and your past are all impacting and influencing the person that you are. Now, I want us to go back to that metaphor of that tree. That tree has roots that have grown deep. There have been things that have happened in your childhood. There are branches off of certain roots. There are branches off of certain parts of that tree. And what would happen if God just yanked all that up? You would literally lose yourself. So God is not abusive when it comes to helping us to heal. It would be abusive of God. It really would. It would be abusive of him to come and just snap his fingers and we become a completely different person instantly. So God has a rhythm to healing. And one of the reasons why he has a rhythm is because he knows which parts of us, like a master surgeon, to shape and to move through that are happening in certain layers and times in our life. We may be encountering a very toxic portion of a person's personality or even our own. And the question in the back of our head is, how come they don't see this? And why won't they just hurry up and change this? And the reality is because God probably has not gotten to that part yet. And as much as you're aggravated by it, you may need to examine why you're so aggravated by that portion. I had to learn to be patient with myself in certain areas, even when I encountered people who honestly, when I was going through my healing process, they were upset with me because they would say things like, you're filled with the Holy Spirit and I can't believe you still act like this. And that is when it dawned on me years later that spiritual growth and emotional healing, while they should happen side by side, sometimes they don't. And so one of the things that we encounter with people is that they can be filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues and all these different things and having all these radical encounters with God. And we still are not privy to the timeline that God is going to walk them through to also reveal how their emotions and their personality impacts people. But it's still a work of Holy Spirit. And so my message to you is not to just be patient with God, but be patient with yourself, because spiritual growth and emotional healing are in lockstep with one another. As we move spiritually, we should also be growing in our emotions. And the last thing that I kind of want to say to that is that God needs us to see the role that we are playing in our own suffering. He needs us to see how we are also impacting others. And God does not make us or force us to see all of that at one time, because it would be shocking. It would be too much. It would be a lot. It would be overwhelming. And I think for many of us, learning that we cause other people pain because of our pain is a large part of spiritual growth. One of the prayers of Jabez asked the Lord, you know, he says, "Oh, that I may not cause any pain." And a part of me wondered, like, what did Jabez go through? What was his past like to say, "God, I just don't want to cause anybody pain"? And I remember growing to a place in my life where I recognized that. It's like, "Lord, I know I got wounds in here. I know that I have trauma responses that are waiting to fire off on people. But I need the power of your Holy Spirit to help me arrest and keep certain things at bay, so that I can please you and honor you, and so that I won't hurt other people, because it's not my intention to do so." And I believe that God can honor that prayer while working on us in secret and in private as he takes our time. What God wants us to do is to not hate ourselves for who we are. So if you notice that, man, whenever I feel under pressure, this is just an example, whenever I feel stressed and whenever I feel under pressure, I notice that I can't complete a project. That trauma response probably came from an area in your life where your brain cells and what's called your cortisol levels or your stress levels were so high at a point in your childhood or just growing up or some season in your life. It could have been a toxic marriage or a good marriage. It could have just been school, going to get your PhD, going through your master's, having a tough time at work. And your stress levels are now so high that your body does not know how to stop reacting to triggers. And so what happens is that as a result, you cannot finish or complete things because your brain is constantly switching the channel because it wants to feel peace. And so one of the things that we'll end up doing is we will end up falling into a cycle of self-hatred, because we're wanting God to hurry up and fix this. But the Lord wants us to be patient with ourselves and not hate ourselves for the things that we see. And I believe it is my job to warn you by the Spirit that a healing process does take time. And eventually, as we choose to cooperate with Holy Spirit, he will give us the ability to work through certain areas. God is a master surgeon. So like a good surgeon, they do what's called in the hospital triage. And he looks at the most jacked up toxic areas first, and then he works his way to others. So if you have a bad heart or a messed up valve on your heart, but you also got a broke leg and a broke knee, I think God would much rather work on the heart first than to work on the broke leg and the broke knee. And so when it comes to healing, lastly, God categorizes what is crying out for the most attention. And Proverbs 4:23 tells us to guard your heart with all diligence. Like, that's your job. Why? Because out of it flows the issues of life. Everything in your life is flowing out of the heart, which is why God wants us, primarily why he comes to us, work to help us work through our trauma, work through our pain, and work through the sense of overwhelm that we may feel. Maybe even after a therapy session or a coaching session where we're like, man, something heavy just got revealed to me and I need time to like sit and work through this. There were plenty of times, child, where I had to come out of therapy and a therapy session, and my therapist was a licensed practicing counselor and she was a Christian, which her theology and how she worked me through certain areas in those sessions was just such a Holy Spirit gift. And I would work through those areas and see things about myself, and it would be emotionally and physically taxing. And here's why. Because all pain is stored somewhere in the physical body. I'm gonna repeat that. All pain, all trauma is stored somewhere in the physical body. So, got 6 minutes left. I'm going to walk you through very gently how the human body works. Your brain's number one system, so your body is made up of several systems. Your digestive system is made up of your circulatory system, is made up of your nervous system, is made up of your lymphatic system, your muscular system. But the number one system that controls the control center of your body, like a computer, is your nervous system. And so your brain has these superhighways of connected tissue, and those connected tissues also exist. Okay, so we're gonna try this again because clearly my alarm went off again for my meds. And I guess I must have hit the snooze button and not stop. I'm irritated. Okay, anyway, so here's what I wanna say. Your brain is a superhighway of connected signals and tissues. And one of the things that your brain beautifully and magically does is that it has a sensory system where your neurons, basically they connect and they're gently apart like this. So when one part of your body senses that a signal is coming down, it either says yes or no, it can pass. And this happens in lightning speed. Your body is physically reacting to everything around you. And so because of this, one of the reasons why God cannot fast track us through seasons of healing is because you have had 15, 20, 30 years of your body reacting like this. But Romans 12 encourages us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And the Bible, aka Paul in the Bible, was the first one to give us this revelation to know that the mind can be transformed. Meaning, if your mind gets new information, if it gets a new way to think, now at first, what's going to happen is inside those little neurons, what ends up happening is that little ball of light that says, ooh, I don't feel safe, and my stomach starts to hurt as a result. Okay, let's just use it as an example. That part of your brain now wants to get a new signal, and you're trying to give it a new signal that says, you know what? You feel safe now. You are no longer in the place that you were in when you grew up. So stomach, stop hurting. That part of your brain at first is going to look at that signal and go, huh, because it has 20 years of it making a highway for your stomach to start hurting. But now that God has given you new information, or through the power of deliverance, which is another thing that God adds to the arsenal of Christian believers, is that through the power of deliverance, anything that has been locked inside of your body, keeping you stuck, God has the power to make that thing come out. But it needs to also be replaced by the healthy new thing to think about. So this is why the Bible says that if a spirit leaves out of a body, it comes out, it goes to dry places, and then it searches again to see if that place that was occupied has now left. And if it is empty, if you ain't put nothing in there to tell your brain, hey, we're no longer thinking about this. So if you're healing from rejection so that your stomach no longer goes in cramps when you see certain people or when you're around people, but you have not replaced that with healthy thoughts and with healthy things to think, then that empty area is just going to refill again with the same thing that has always thought. And the Bible says that the demonic spirit that was left in your body comes back 7 times stronger. We have to be ready. And this is why God takes so long with healing, is because it's not enough just to know what happened to you and why you were sick. You also have to have the wisdom to replace what was burdening you with new freedom. And for many of us, a healing journey is not complete until we understand what to replace our pain with. So the Bible says we get beauty for ashes. We get joy for mourning. We get the oil of joy instead of grief. Whatever has been hindering us and keeping us bound, we also have to have enough wisdom and enough knowledge to know what to ask God for and to know what to pursue in order to walk out our healing. So what I had to realize is that it wasn't enough for me to just get healed from the spirit of rejection that happened because of my childhood, because let's give it a name, okay? My trauma brain would always force me to be suspicious of people and their motives. And so when I began to walk in my healing, it wasn't that the suspicion was no longer there. It was that I replaced suspicion with being able to lean into the voice of Holy Spirit, because every morning I would get up and pray in the spirit in my heavenly language. And that place of prayer in my heavenly language, that place of worship, that place of reading the Bible, that place of staying in Christian community began to replace the dark things that were lodged in my mind so that I could know that I was safe. And so one of the reasons why God is adamant about us having healing that happens slowly is because many of us want to hurry to be healed, but we don't have a strategy to maintain our healing, and we don't have consistency in our prayer life so that our brain, watch this, so that it will build another superhighway. Your brain, if you give it new information, it will build another highway inside of your circuit system, inside of your nervous system, to tell it something different, because you have built up your spiritual disciplines over time. Spiritual disciplines heal us. Fasting, prayer, time in the Word, time in worship, time on our knees, just crying out to God, time in our Christian community. Those things build places of reservoirs of deep healing in our spirits, so that when we battle against stuff that's been in our lives, our personality, our childhood, our psychology, and our past, we have an arsenal to help us fight back. And so I want you to know that those 15 or 16 years of intentional healing in my journey, it didn't happen overnight. And it didn't happen overnight because I needed to stay consistently watered by the Word of God. So for 15 years, I could probably count on two hands the amount of services for church that I have missed. And a lot of people will try to make that sound very legalistic or whatever. But if I came in this environment to experience the presence of God, and that's all I got for the week, there were some weeks where it was enough because it kept me under the Word and under covering so that my healing from trauma could continue to move forward. So my question to you is, what are you doing to spiritually discipline yourself to be someone, a woman or a man of God, who knows that God is with me as we are healing, God is with me as I am growing, God is with me as I'm working through this tough thing inside of me, God is with me as I'm learning to respond differently? And what are you doing to keep yourself spiritually disciplined so that you have an arsenal to fight back with? Because let me tell you something, spirits do try to return. And not only do they try to return, they try to come back stronger. But guess who's even bigger? Your God. He is. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for the listener for this episode of Hey, Let's Heal. I thank you that they bore with me through all of my stops. But God, I thank you that in this moment, they are examining themselves and asking themselves, what am I doing to stay spiritually disciplined? I thank you that they know that no part of their past, their personality, or their personal psychology is stronger than your Word over their identity. And so God, I thank you that their identity in you is safe. Their identity in you is secure. God, their identity in you is that they are a child of God. They are the head and not the tail. They are above only and not beneath. And God, you have given them victory. So God, we thank you this evening for their victory. That victory belongs to you, Jesus, and nothing is missing and nothing is lacking. They have everything they need from you in this moment. In your son Jesus' name we do pray, amen. Well, I'll see you on the next episode of Hey, Let's Heal.